In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
Demons, pigs, and Jesus. That's what we're dealing with in this morning's gospel lesson. One of the most entertaining references to today's gospel comes from a question asked of a well-known pastor on Facebook regarding the reading. The question: Dear pastor, how can I get on board with Jesus when so much pork was wasted in the lake? Signed, a bacon-loving Christian. I know of some animal-loving children and people who wonder, why did the pigs jump off of the cliff? There's this resource called Worshiping with Children that offers a few possible answers. The demons drove the pigs over the cliff to get even with Jesus for kicking him out of the man. They knew that the pigs' owners would be angry with Jesus. Second version: the pigs were so frightened by the demons that they jumped over the cliff to get away from them. And the third one: the pigs, being smarter than most people expected, recognized the demons and finished Jesus' work by drowning them in the lake. But I think that the bigger question, the more challenging question, is about the demons themselves. Now, we can read this story with a 21st century psychoanalytic mind. We could say clearly this man was mentally ill. And people back in Jesus' day didn't know about things like mental illness or epilepsy. There are some people who say, well, there used to be demons possessing people. But like other diseases that have been eradicated, smallpox, polio, maybe demons just don't exist in this day and age. And there are people who believe in demons and also believe that we have medical and scientific terms to explain some of the things that possess us in this day and age. Depression, anxiety, obsessive-compulsive disorder, etc. We don't know much about the man who was possessed by demons, except that it's an extreme case. Here's a man who no longer lived in his home. He lived in the graveyard. And he no longer wore clothes. But the demons inside him recognized Jesus. He recognized Jesus. And from in this man, these demons shouted out at the top of their lungs, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And Jesus asked the man, "What is your name?" The man's response is telling. "My name is Legion, Mob." He gives the name of the many demons that have possessed him. What leads a person to respond with a label in response to being asked, "Who are you?" With a response like this, the man acknowledged that he had lost his name, along with his individual identity. The conflicting forces within him were like a Roman legion at war. But Jesus knew, when you ask a demon its name, you separate it from the person. So what is a demon? In this man, it's something that has taken a hold of him, something that has possessed him, and those things have clung onto this man so that they have become him. Legion. It's not just a little thing. Many things that have compounded to make this man so wild that even chains can't hold him down. And it turns out that the demons and the man are not one and the same. Jesus changes the story when he asks the man the man's name, and the demons name themselves. And once they're in the presence of Jesus, the demons are afraid. They know that Jesus is the one who offers truth and life and wholeness to whatever Jesus encounters. They fear being sent into the abyss. So they beg Jesus, send us into the pigs. And Jesus allows it. And the man is free. I believe that demons start out really small. And they take hold of us. They're things that get us into trouble when we let them determine what we do and say. And in this story, Jesus shows us that he has power over the most terrifying of demons. This gospel shows us that no matter what possesses us, we are safe. There are two things that happen when a person encounters Jesus, whenever they experience healing in Jesus' midst. Jesus either invites them to come along with him, to follow him, or he says, no, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. As I thought about what I would preach today, I was compelled by Jesus telling the man to go and tell about it once the demons left him. I believe demons are real. Little things, they start out. Little things that take hold of you. Little things that get us into trouble when we let them determine what we do and say. Demons start out small and seemingly harmless, but they are pervasive. It's when we say about our bad habits we want to break one day after another, and then we say, well, I'll start that tomorrow, or I'll quit tomorrow. Or, you know, this doesn't feel quite right, but doing it isn't really hurting anybody. Or I might hurt his or her feelings or offend them if I do it any other way. I believe demons are real because I believe I've had an experience with one. It started out with a friend telling me that she was doing something wrong. Actually, she just told me what she was doing. She didn't name it as wrong at all. And it was also pretty exciting what she was doing. And the thing made her happy, but she said, Allison, I need you to keep it a secret. So I did. Because I take loyalty and friendship very seriously. Years went on, and she kept doing the thing. She kept telling me about it. And she wasn't committing a crime, but we both knew that what she did, if anyone else knew, could cause a great deal of harm. So I convinced myself that above all things, I was being loyal to my friend. But the loyalty started to become more important than telling or living the truth or calling her to account. Now, eventually it all ended. The thing wasn't happening anymore. We both moved away. We rarely talked. But the thing had happened. And even though it was over, I left the experience feeling pretty miserable about it and about myself. I ran into this other person I hadn't seen in a long time, since before the thing. And this friend seemed so happy, so full of joy, so at ease. And I was nothing like my friend. In comparison, I was a wreck. I was blue, if not a little depressed. And the comparison between he and I was stunning. Finally, after years and years of carrying the burden, I went to a priest to talk to her about it. I confessed my part in it all, the cover-up. Just told the whole truth in a way I never had before. And then the priest named it. named it out loud, the thing. She said, when you talk about this, it's like you've got a demon on your back. She named it out loud. For so long, it had determined what I did and what I said, and now it just made me sad. Burden, guilt, a demon on my back. And then the priest did this miraculous thing. She said, in the name of Christ, you are forgiven. When I went to sleep that night, I had the closest thing to a vision of God I have ever had. I had this image of a gargoyle, but I believe whatever it was symbolized the demon on my back. And after hours of hearing that Jesus forgave me, hearing that I could both live with integrity and be freed of my guilt, I had an image of that demon exploding into vapor. The vision startled me awake, and I had this incredible feeling of restoration and relief unlike anything I've ever felt before. And it was that night that I came to believe that demons are very real, and that in the presence of Jesus' grace, they are not only powerless, but they're commanded to the abyss by a power beyond us. So here's a final thing about demons. We need Jesus, and we need the church to name them for what they are and then vaporize them. Demons are powerful. I mean, look at what happened when Jesus commanded legion out of the man. The man was, as the gospel recalls it, clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. And the very next sentence, and they were afraid. Years back, I knew a woman who'd struggled with what she named as a sense of possession, an unshakable compulsion to overeat. And one day she recalled something shifted. It clicked. And over the course of months, she lost 50 pounds. During that time, she had a huge look of contentment every time I saw her. She had that look of relief and joy. But her family reacted. I remember hearing her young daughter comment, "Mom's lap is not as cozy as it used to be." And her husband said, "I'm so frustrated. We always used to go out for ice cream on Friday nights, and now we don't do that anymore. We've lost that fun thing we did together." "But Mom," they said, "you've gotten rid of who you are." They cried out. They were afraid. The pressure to keep things the way they'd always been before was strong. So eventually her motivation waned, and this woman gained back the weight. And that look of contentment on her face went back to the look I know most well, kind of a look of resignation. Demons have a way of convincing us that things are more comfortable if we just leave them the way they are, even when they keep us from life. We need one another. We need Jesus to help us name aloud our demons for what they are. Seemingly little things that take a hold of us and can become us, but they aren't us. A little thing that gets us into trouble when we let it determine what we do and what we say. It's a little thing, and it's only real, and it only becomes big when we let it be real and become big by what we do. "Ugh, I lost sleep last night. And I knew I needed to preach about it because I thought, and I am very afraid. It's over a collective demon on our backs as an American people. And I believe the demon's name is callousness. Can you imagine children in the care of someone other than their parents? Like imagine a foster child or a child in juvenile detention even. Not given a toothbrush to brush their teeth or soap to wash their bodies or clean clothing. I believe there would be public outrage. Yet I read a story, and you may have read the story this weekend, about children as young as 7 or 8, many of them wearing clothes caked with snot and tears, caring for infants they'd just met. Toddlers without diapers are relieving themselves in their pants. 4 toddlers were hospitalized over the weekend, and one was taken unresponsive. Any Department of Children and Family Services in this country would put the caregivers of these children in jail for this kind of mistreatment and neglect. Yet the place where these children were found were in government detention centers not caring for immigrant children. The demon of callousness that rainbow flags covered my Facebook feed more than this story this weekend. Not that there's anything wrong with rainbow flags, but there are more likes for that than for the care of children. This is where we call upon the name of Jesus, and Jesus is counting on the church. Jesus sees callousness, names it for what it is, and sees us and knows that we are not callousness. Little things are all over the place, but the power of Jesus is bigger. And in that power, we can be safe, and we will be set free if we have the courage to invite Jesus to name the things that take a hold of us. They could come off our backs, so you and I might fully be us, and we collectively might fully be us. In the name of Jesus, who has power over the demons. Amen.